Hey, it's Graham. Our past in-depth guests have shared so many inspirational stories about overcoming adversity and tackling the darkest and most challenging times in their lives. We're sharing one of those moments in today's Thursday podcast in the hope that it provides a blueprint for any difficulties you might be facing. This week, Charles Schwab.
Dyslexia. You wrote in your book that for the longest time, you just thought you were stupid for like 40 years.
Well, I didn't think I was stupid. I just thought I had a terrible time in reading things. I was particularly good at math. I was sort of advanced and all that stuff. And English, I was really slow in. So what I gravitated towards, and it was the greatest thing I'd ever done, was start reading classic comic books. Because classics had pictures of all the illustrations of the various subject matters are going on, and I read every classic comic book I could, so I was very much instilled in the classic books as such. I knew all the stories, whether it's Ivanhoe or Tale of Two Cities or Moby Dick or things of that nature. I mean, the teachers were very impressed that I knew all this stuff. And I could pass a test in that literary discussion. But guess what? It's all based upon my love of comic books.
How did your son's diagnosis cause you to look into...
Well, I was 43, 44, when he was diagnosed with exactly what I had as a kid. And I had all this similar problems.
And which were what?
Dyslexia, basically, but I had never had it defined. There was no science around him when I was his age, when he was 7 or 8.
I mean, what were the issues they identified that made you realize, this is exactly
what... Well, he had extreme difficulty in reading and in writing and expressions. His teacher said he needs remedial reading and all the struggles that he went through. Fortunately, I went to a nun school at the time, the religious school, and these nuns, that's all they did was teach kids. And fortunately, they just beat things into me. But to this day, I still have a tough time with the alphabet.
How so?
If you ask me to put it out, I think I can do it, but even through school, I had a tough time memorizing things like that. That's what happens to a dyslexic.
And that was why English was your hardest.
English was very difficult, very difficult. I always had miserable class scores in English or English literature.
So I read an interview you gave where you said, if you look at the words, the cat crossed the street, you have to sound it out to get the meaning.
I do.
How so?
Well, with dyslexics, for most 80% of dyslexics, it is simply that. It's the taking word, which is code, and you look at code, like cat, C-A-T. That's C-A-T, that's code in writing. And you convert it then to sound in your brain and then to meaning. And you do the reverse when you're writing and doing other things. The phonological processing is different for kids that have dyslexia. And I don't know why, but that's the way we're born.
And you also said at one point to sit down in front of a blank piece of paper and write something. At one point in your life, that was like one of the most traumatic things you could go through.
Terrible. I'd sit down with... in writing this book, most of this book, I've dictated this, the whole thing out, but I couldn't sit down and write every word out of it. Either think too fast, or I couldn't write as fast as I think. I don't know what happens there, but
processing. That was like lectures you attended in college, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could either pay attention or write notes.
I can't do both. Yeah. Can't do both. And so I learned that in college, actually. And I learned my good friends would take great notes. I could read their notes, and I could get a good grade in the class. But look at my notes, you couldn't understand them.
Something that seemed to be pretty cool that happened to you when you were back in school. I think it's your first year of business school. You have to write a case study. Fellow students were turning in papers as long as 10 to 12 pages. You turned in a two-page paper.
Page and a half.
What was the teacher's response, and how was that an academic first for you?
Well, they loved my paper. It was one of the four or five picked papers, and I was stunned to find out my paper was one of the. But I really knew the case, and I had a great conclusion on what should recommendation. And so I was very succinct in writing out the particular problem and then the solution, and they loved that. They liked brevity as opposed to lengthy, 10-page kind of thing. They didn't want a repeat. They wanted to have someone come up with a specific recommendation.
But it felt really good.
I felt good. I said, I can't believe it. It gave me all kinds of confidence. I'm okay. I'm going to make it through this school.
What do you think there's a higher percentage of dyslexics with criminal records?
Well, that's a real problem because in school, these kids lose their self-esteem. Kids that struggle and are bottom of the totem pole in academics, and they are smart. They're not dumb, but they just can't read. And what happens is they move into other social things that are not agreed to by society. They get into alcohol or drugs or activity that because they're smart thinking about things, but they're not doing well in class. So they find other ways to show their capabilities, I guess. And then they end up in jail.
What have you tried to do on the philanthropic front over
the
years?
Well, we've tried to help a number of different ways, and studies are, yes, that some 40 or 50% of the men in prison start out in life as dyslexics. And yes, that's a huge problem for society, that they didn't get enough attention as children to deal with the issue of they acted out in different ways and ended up in problems.
High school assembly, when you're growing up, you're in front of the school and have to give a speech. Describe what you remember from the struggle.
That first time, I thought I could remember everything. I couldn't remember anything. You got up there and you get stage fright. Oh, the first word, you're just struggling, and you're just getting sweating, and you're breaking down, and you're sort of, it's the worst experience you could ever have. And so, it happened to me a couple of times.
Oh, it has? Yeah. Do you remember the other times just as well?
There were a couple of times very close to each other. I didn't do it again.
Overcoming shyness and developing people skills, you believe, has been a key to your success. How so?
I knew it was essential for being successful in life, to have a successful relationship or be whatever it might be, my endeavor was. And I always ended up with leadership roles as such, so I had to be confident about, my ability to speak in front of a group of people. So that was really a challenge for me, and I worked hard at it over time.
And you
then I went to certain school about it eventually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How did that help?
Eventually I found a trainer that helped me enormously on how to handle myself in a verbal setting.
What did the trainer teach you that
told me, number one, nobody knows what you're gonna say, so you have permission to say anything you wanna say. Because you don't know what I'm gonna say next. That's really a pretty profound thing. I always thought, I knew what I wanted to say and I had to memorize it all. You can't. And you don't know what I'm gonna say, so simply I can say anything. And if I don't remember something, that's just fine. I figure out the transition from one thing to another thing. And you don't know that I'm really inside just really wrenching to come up with the right word, but I'm not.
Will you still get that way today?
No, not
okay.
Now.
Got it.
very easy and free with you now, right?
You've said before some leaders are born with that skill, others learn it with experience.
Yeah, I think it's learnable. I think it's learnable by most people. And the more you practice it, the more confidence you get about it. It's okay. And the other part of the thing is make sure you smile. It's amazing how you can get away with so many things with a smile.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week and every week sharing long-form interviews on Mondays and shorter, uplifting stories on Thursdays and then trending clips on Fridays. We'd love to hear from you with ratings and reviews. Do you prefer the longer podcast episodes or our shorter ones? I'm excited to get your take. Thanks again.